This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Picking up hour two of Money Moves back here on VSiN, the sports betting network, SiriusXM channel 158, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Lots to get to this hour coming up in 30 minutes. VSiN's own Josh Applebaum is going to join the program. Get into, I believe, a little MLB and NBA with him. Of course, the NBA Finals, as well as the Stanley Cup Final, both officially set. We will preview both of those. We got best bets coming up at the end of the hour. I actually wanted to start out here, though, with a little college baseball, because it was chaos for these highly regarded national seeds. Vanderbilt, who's the number one overall seed in the tournament, he's bounced. Texas, who had the best regular season in the SEC, they're out. And, I mean, the list goes on with national seeds getting eliminated Sunday. Number 7, Georgia. Number 11, Clemson. Number 12, Oregon on the sideline for the rest of the weekend. There's a lot that was going on.
Yeah, I thought so. The Vandy thing, I think, was a little bit explainable, right? As watching quite a bit
over the weekend. Probably not deserving of the number one overall seed.
Well, I wouldn't even say that. It's just like, dude, they're and this is why I was – so I was actually messaging with Aaron Moore, who writes for the website. We'll have him on again, you know, as we get closer to the College World Series too. But, like, I'm surprised there's not more variance in college baseball, only because baseball is, to use the term that you don't like when I say it about hockey, baseball can be a stupid sport, right? You can spend a game just hitting 110-mile-an-hour line drives – straight to defenders and just not get anything. And that's what happened to Vandy. Vandy just could not hit for to save their lives, you know, and they rally the other day or yesterday, but they still get knocked out. And I am surprised that doesn't happen pretty often. But I bring that up because, like, Vandy was at least explainable. Texas was not. Like, Texas had everything going for them, and they lose the way that they do. But I'm just surprised that we don't see more of this. But very excited to see what today's going to bring. I mean, yesterday was the day of the dog. We had some really big dogs barking yesterday. You know, among them, we're going to see Little Rock take on LSU again today. So that's going to be a ton of fun. Elimination day. We have all these game sevens. But Little Rock was a very big underdog yesterday. They're massive again here today against LSU. But when you see these really higher-seeded teams that know they have a little bit more depth in terms of their bullpen and what's going on with them, they kind of tend to take the foot off the gas in some of these spots and then tend to fall into some of these game sevens. I'm going to go on a limb and say the minus 2,200 in LSU gets it done today. Mm. But, hey, baseball's a stupid sport. And when you're playing a one-off game in baseball, anything can happen. So I'm very excited to watch some of these games today.
Also, if you want to throw that odds board back up on the screen, odds to win the College World Series, Arkansas is your favorite right now at plus 350, LSU 5-1, Florida State plus 750. And why do I emphasize that? Because we had Matt Grissom on the program a couple weeks ago talking about Florida State as a team he thought could really get to Omaha. And at that time, they were around 30-1 pricing to win the College World Series, cut down to plus 750 right now.
Yeah, and I think so. They are a team too, so I bet three teams to make the College World Series at the recommendations of Grissom. This is the one that is still alive here too, at about like plus 225 or so. They will get the winner of the Corvallis region, so it's Oregon State and USC later today. So I think that is a series in which they can definitely win, given the way that I at least watched a little bit of them out there in Tallahassee and their regionals. So I think they're going to be pretty live here to win this thing. As you talked about, there are more. I think it kind of benefits you a little bit to just more do some of these rollover parlays, whatever it is with some of these teams. But I think that this should be, especially with two of the powers at the top getting knocked out, this is setting up to be I think we're picking a good year to go to Omaha, essentially. Like, this is going to be pretty cool. I think a lot of these teams are pretty close to one another. You watch even UCLA sweep through their regional. Now they get to take on UTSA, who came out of that Austin regional. So this looks like once we get to these super regionals, this is going to be a ton of fun with all these teams.
And obviously, JVT just said it. Coming up next week, we will be out there in Omaha for a couple of days. We'll be broadcasting from Rocco's, which has become famous over the last handful of years for the College World Series Jello Shot Challenge.
Yeah, baby.
And so I feel like we have to come up with something that'll be fun segment-wise with regards to that. But that's going to be an awesome experience. So make sure you tune in. It'll be us and Follow the Money that are out there broadcasting live.
I won't be drinking on the air, Stormy.
Because you've never done that before. I'm actually the I'm like the one of the two of us that actually hasn't drank on air before. I want to.
Why is this accusation? What proof do you have that I have consumed libations while on the air?
You have told me, and we do have video evidence. This is live television. That doesn't go away.
Ortega bought those mint juleps at one time because I did not try them. And it's not my fault that they put humans and I late night on the edges with a full keg of beer that was there. That was not my fault.
But that's how VSiN got started back in the day, too. Brent Musburger and some bookmaker blonde on the desk, right?
Very true. It was a good beer. By the way, I did do, because I wanted to watch something a little later today, I did lay 2.5 runs with Tennessee against Wake Forest. Let's go. And our guy Aaron Moore did tell me earlier today was leaning toward the over in that game. We're up to 14.5 now in multiple spots. So it seems the market would agree with that lean in that direction. But elimination day, very excited for tonight.
That's a good tease. One of a handful of best bets that we will be recapping at the very end of the show today. Reminder, everybody, by the way, EdgeBoost, the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring any and all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You get cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits as well. You signed up today at edgeboost.bet and use our promo code MONEY. Deposit $25. EdgeBoost is going to match that deposit for you. Again, that's over at edgeboost.bet, edgeboost.bet. You've got your regular bank account, and then you've got your bank account for all of your betting bankroll, which maybe you might want to use this week on the Stanley Cup Final, which is set to begin on Wednesday. The Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers going head-to-head in this one. You think it's all Florida, so maybe you like that even money price. It's available on the Panthers. The Oilers right now minus 120 favorites, largely on DraftKings. They're minus 130 in that first game one at home coming up on Wednesday.
So tell me if I'm crazy about this, and you were in Italy, so I don't know if you like picked up a ton of the discourse around like this, right? I almost feel like because of Carolina's past in the Eastern Conference Finals, that Florida's domination of them is somewhat being undersold. Does that make sense? Like, it's almost like, well, this was expected. This is Carolina. Like, no, like Carolina was a good team, and Florida went in there, and the lone game that the Carolina Hurricanes won, it was clearly one of those where Florida was like, whatever, man. Like, we'll just win the next one, right? Like, they didn't care. They didn't care at all. And so I'm curious as to, like, I think this team is better than what they were last year. You made the argument you can say the same thing about Edmonton. But I don't think we should discount how dominant this run has been for Florida this entire way. I think they are good on defense. Their penalty kill has been very good. Yeah. Their power play has been just as good as Edmonton's if you're looking at percentage of success. The times that we have seen Edmonton, I think, look a little shaky. It's been its own penalty kill. We'll go back to one game, right? It was Dallas where they had the three in the third period, whatever it was. I do think, and it's more like the what you said. You don't think Hyman is that big of a deal. I think in a vacuum, it's not. But when you have such little to go on, when you're talking about differences in two very good teams, I think that little deal becomes a bigger deal in a course of a best of seven.
I think that's fair. I'm not – my argument last segment in saying that I don't think that it's over in five isn't because I think that the Panthers aren't that good.
You thought they were frauds.
What's funny to me is after all of the conversation you had about the Carolina Hurricanes,
they were disrespected.
Gonna get it done, baby.
I said they were disrespected. The other percentage of the probability played out. That's all that was.
All right.
I was still right.
Yeah.
It was still the best bet to make.
You're always right.
It was still the right.
No, but I've also said from the beginning, the Florida Panthers are extremely battle tested.
Yeah.
They're extremely physical. They are very good at what they do. I don't disagree with any of the points that you made regarding how solid as a rock this Florida team is. They do have the experience of making it all the way to the Cup Final each of the last 2 years, winning last year. They know what that feels like. But I think that Edmonton has a very similar, like, aggression and feel that Florida to me had last year coming off of having lost the Cup Final. And you even look at the reactions that Edmonton had last year when they win the Campbell Trophy and they're celebrating like crazy because it's the first time that they've been back in the Cup Final for such a long time. They were so, like, even keeled, deadpan after the win the other night because they know that there's more to come. And even the way that they lost in the Cup Final last year, it was all the way down to game seven. They were down 3-0. They roared all the way back. That hurts when you lose in a one-goal game in a game seven. Mm-hmm. But you make it all the way back here. That's been your goal this entire year. You're even resting players the back end of the season. Make sure that you're healthy and ready enough to go throughout the course of this postseason. The power play finally started to click for them in the conference final, which I think is a big difference. Yes, over the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs to this point, their power play and the Panthers' power play are very on par, but they were at, 35% in the conference finals, which is a huge uptick for them. And that's what I think can be really dangerous about the Edmonton Oilers. They've had depth that has worked for them that I didn't think they had. Their defense has come to play. Stuart Skinner has been better more days than not, which is a big concern that I've had throughout the course of the playoffs about Stuart Skinner. He's been great more than I expected. No, he's not the most consistent player in the world. So if all of that comes together for them and their power play is working, I think this is going to be a long series that could be go to anyone.
Sure. I keep going back to, I hear smarter people than I, like you and others, when they talk about the Oilers, expressing surprise probably isn't the right term, but it's like, I thought, like you just said, wow, Skinner's playing a lot better than we expected. Hey, this defense playing a lot better than we expected. But what if it's just that? And what if you run into a team like Florida, who's great and makes you look, all those issues you thought this Oilers team had all of a sudden come to fruition in the Stanley Cup final?
But wasn't I talking to you about that against Dallas, that I thought it might happen there?
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel pretty good, at least, about the take that I've had since the second round and after game two against Vegas, that it felt like this was going to be an Edmonton in the final against the Florida Panthers. Like, that was the matchup that I've said for the last couple weeks I thought and kind of hoped would happen. Even, I think it was a Why Not Wednesday or something like that, 6-1 for the exact matchup with these two that we had come through here. I feel like Edmonton is actually good.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's just one series that they've performed this way. It is since they lost game two in LA that they've stood up this way.
So most spots open pick. It's now up to minus 130. It sounds like you would agree with that line move. Like, Edmonton deserves to be favored with home ice in this series.
I don't know how much of a difference home ice makes.
Sure.
They've been excellent at home, but Florida has been outstanding on the road. It's similar to a lot of the situations we've seen in the NBA where, like, home court, what does it really mean? That's the way that it's been for the Florida Panthers. I think I have the numbers up here. Yeah. So 8-2 in 10 games on the road. They outscored Carolina 15-5 in Raleigh last round. They're plus 27 overall goal differential on the road. So I agree with the line move simply from the fact that I think that the Edmonton Oilers are going to win, mm-hmm. but I don't know if home ice really has that big of a difference. I think game one is going to be critical for Edmonton. Like, if they don't hold home ice these first two games for both of them, I think that was going to lend really, really toward you. I don't see them coming back like they were able to in other series. Okay.
So your final prediction is?
I think the Edmonton Oilers raise the Stanley Cup. Wow. Connor McDavid wins Conn Smythe on the winning team this
time. All right,
show
bet. I got Florida. We'll figure out the details.
We'll be right back.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The final jewel of the Triple Crown is almost here, the Belmont Stakes, and there's no better time to bet the races than right now with First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus when you use the promo code VSIN200, VSIN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to help elevate your game. You can download the app or go to firstbet.com/VSIN to sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSIN. Again, use that promo code VSIN200 for your $200 bonus. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time to get into a little Major League Baseball. Shorter slate today, 7 games. Coming off a really interesting weekend in the league, though. We saw the Dodgers take 2-3 from the Yankees in what was the worst of the season performance from Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which I know excited you.
Yeah, baby.
I instantly thought of you. We also saw the Rockies continue their historic slide. The Nationals had that wild 9-run first inning the other day. Do have an update, by the way, on an Arizona player on the opposite side of that, which we'll get into in a moment. But I want to start in Kansas City because the Royals are calling up Jack. Did you say Caglione?
I believe it is Caglione.
It's like you're right.
No, Caglione. Thank you very much.
And you ignore the one N.
Yes.
One of the N's is silent.
Caglione.
As Kansas City's opening up a 3-game set with the Cardinals tomorrow. But this is really big news because he has been somebody who has played down significantly, like the last couple weeks in the rookie of the year markets, from like as high as 40-1.
Well, there's a lot higher prices out there. This is really interesting from a lot of different perspectives. And actually, I did this with Paul Skeens last year. So for highly touted prospects like Caglione, I wouldn't say it benefits you, but there is something in just grabbing a flyer on them prior to them being called up, because once they get called up, you see those odds start to rise. And we saw that here. Caglione just last week, like, I added him at 30-1. He gets called up. He's now 9-1, right?
Yep.
We haven't seen him yet. And then he's already at 9-1 to win AL Rookie of the Year. So I think there's just that. He's also the very highly touted prospect that everybody's been waiting for. So that's part of it. But this has been a very popular bet for a while in two minor leagues. So AA and AAA for Kansas City across both leagues. In 229 plate appearances, he's hitting .322. He's already got, 15 home runs. He's driven in 56. He seems to be the real deal. Kansas City definitely needs help on offense.
Yeah.
So this is a very exciting time. And this is now an AL Rookie of the Year contender. If you look at it from the perspective of him being live, now people can jump in. I feel like the ship has kind of sailed. Again, it's always hard to say, I'll take 9-1 when the guy was 30-1 last week.
Yeah.
It's always hard to kind of do that. But he's going to be pretty live to win this, and it's going to be very exciting to see if he can do it, because there are a lot of people with a lot of longer numbers than 30 or 40-1 on Caglione to win this thing. And he is going to be the center of attention for a very long time, and I'm sure he will be part of, by the time we get to the end of the year, the very disingenuous conversations we have about awards, because everybody just has a ticket on him and he should win,
yeah,
regardless of
Absolutely.
Other evidence. Yeah.
The one follow-up question I would have to that, because yes, 9-1 is kind of the prevailing number. There is as high as 12-1 in the market still available, sure, that I've seen this morning. But obviously there's a guy who's minus 400 in, yeah, Jacob Wilson right now to win it right now, the young rookie shortstop for the A's. So is it, even though that number has been cut down as much as it is, is it still worthwhile at such a decent number by comparison to the minus 400, should he perform and play well? Or do you think this is actually one of those things where, cool, you got CLV, you got great value on a number, but this other kid's going to win it and he's got a huge head start?
Yeah, he's got a huge head start. I think there's a couple of things that do stick out, though, for Wilson. So, for example, he's hitting 357 right now. Batting average on balls in play is 358. One would expect that that starts to kind of come down a little bit here, that you're not going to be as lucky when you're hitting those things in play. He doesn't walk as much, so maybe that's going to be something that works for him. He doesn't really strike out, so that's really good. There's some indicators that maybe he takes a small step back. And I think there's just something to be said of just being the name, having the name value, and going out there and being able to just, if you live up, it is somewhat, I think, similar to the Paul Skenes-Jackson Merrill dynamic. Paul Skenes came out in a very short sample size for the most part and dominated, was everything we expected Paul Skenes to be, and he won the award going away. A lot of people thought Jackson Merrill, there was a late push for him in the odds. They thought that he was going to win it. And over the course of the season, you could argue, I mean, Jackson Merrill last year in 156 games, 593 plate appearances, that's a much larger, sturdier sample size of work. And yet he still lost out to the guy who was the star. Yeah. I think that's probably something here. Like, if Caglione comes out and is anywhere near what people expect him to be, there's going to be a lot of voters who are just going to, sure, go, hell yeah, let's give it to him.
And like, Jacob Wilson has been great, but he's not somebody that has that name value.
He's playing
in
Sacramento.
Exactly. So it's a different, it's like apples and oranges. It's, yep, not the guy that people are talking about. I mentioned off the top an injury with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Corbin Burnes leaves what was an eventual 3-1 win over the Nats yesterday with elbow forearm injury, tossed 4 2/3 scoreless, struck out 6 before the exit velocity. Mm-hmm. Was noticeably down. While I haven't seen the results yet, he did have an MRI this morning. Here he is post game on what he was feeling with his arm.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of really started to get tight on me. Obviously saw the velo starting to drop, and the movement of the pitches was not where we wanted it to be. So we kind of got to the point there in the fifth inning that tried 2 or 3 times to put away Abrams and just couldn't do it. And just got to the point where the tightness was just too much, that weighed him out and didn't feel like we needed to push any farther. So hopefully we caught early. Hopefully it's not bad, but we'll see.
How concerned, what's your kind of concern level right now?
I've never had any like it before, so I really have nothing to compare it to or know.
So tightness, nothing to compare it to. Mm-hmm. Later did go on to say there was no popping sensation, which I guess is good.
Yeah. And so,
but
like,
how concerning is this?
Well, it's huge because Arizona's pitching stinks.
Yeah.
This is a team that overall ERA, both starter and reliever, is floating around 24th. Starting ERA, with the fact that Corbin Burnes with his 266 is accounted for, is still about 25th in Major League Baseball. Actually, 26th. That they've been awful. It's been a big reason why they've gotten off to this start. You can only hit your way out of so many problems. The bullpen stinks. Your pitching staff now gets worse. I really liked this Arizona team coming into the year, especially with their offense, Stormy. I thought that they would be pretty good. Now, there was some expectation that guys like Gallen would potentially find their old form. That has not been the case. Gallen's been awful. And now, like, Burnes is going to be out here for, at the very least, the foreseeable future. D-backs are in a really tough spot. To make the playoffs, yes, plus 225, no, minus 270. I think you can make the strong case that no should be shaded a little bit higher, especially with the loss of Burnes. And again, we always talk about this with the NL. It's why I've been so anti-Atlanta, which, by the way, Atlanta still has not gotten their crap mm-hmm. together at this point. They're not 5.5 games out of a wild card. Look at the teams ahead of them. Philly's bullpen is a nightmare, but their offense is, and they've lost 4 straight now, but their offense is still pretty good. San Diego's up there. St. Louis, San Francisco, Milwaukee all of a sudden who's won 7 straight, is up there too. With this poor pitching staff and now the potential long-term loss of Burnes, again, we'll see what it is. Do you trust that this D-backs team is going to be able to climb their way back into this? I would venture a guess and say again, like, probably not. I know it's only June, But folks, like, we are still nearly 60 games into the season. Those are 60 games you're not getting back. And I think that this is going to be a pretty big blow for them. So I thought that was pretty interesting for a team that, for me, people like me, had high expectations for, and now they're getting worse.
And in the near future, too, not the easiest road this month, at least for the first half of it. They're three-game set with the Braves on the road that starts tomorrow. They have the Braves, then they get the Reds, but then Seattle, San Diego, and Toronto. The Blue Jays have been playing really well lately, too. So there
By the way, you were gone in Italy. You need to root for this, even though I don't think you have a piece of it.
Oh, your month
of
June?
Yep, San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, they're 1-0.
Well,
they won yesterday.
Let's start there here real quickly in terms of games that we have coming up today. The Giants and Padres going head-to-head. I did lean under the 7.5 on this game. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what you think. But Giants starter Logan Webb, awesome at home this year, 3-1, 1.39 ERA in home games. Kolek, 3-1, 4.11 ERA on the other side. He's been okay, but should miss some bats. I was looking at the under. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense. So there's just a couple of things. I think if people who like to look at recent form would see Webb's recent form and be a little bit worried. His last two starts, Kansas City and then at Detroit, 10 innings pitched, 5.40 ERA. But if you look at the underlying numbers, guy got a little unlucky. Like, those two teams hit nearly 500 on balls in play against him. He still struck out 15 to just one walk. The form was very good. So I think this is a perfectly fine spot to expect him to bounce back. And even then, like you said, sub 3 ERA, fielding independence under 2.5. I think you can expect that Webb's going to be able to do his thing. I think the thing that works against your underplay would be that Kolek is starting to revert back to a pretty poor pitcher. If you look at his last three starts, 16 and a third, 7.71 ERA, 5.16 fielding independent, and he doesn't have an overtly impressive profile when you look at some of his numbers. So, you know, like, gives up a ton of hard-hit grounders. Yeah. If those things just happen to find some gaps and all of a sudden the Giants' offense starts to work, maybe you get that over. It's not anything I felt strongly about, but do think San Francisco here is the spot with Webb if you wanted to go first five minus the half run.
I was just looking at the Giants' lineup has taken a step back lately, 24th in slugging and OPS. Padres can hit but haven't been as good recently. Mm-hmm. Taking on Logan Webb in a pitcher's park, I just was, I don't know, putting some extraneous factors
Padres
together.
Padres team total under?
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a good – and that would still support your Giants bet as well, so I wouldn't have to –
there we go.
There you go.
It's a good start. It got the win yesterday, now you get Webb on the hill. Let's do this thing. Come on, San Fran.
I do have another MLB bet that I will give out at the end of the hour in Twins A's. I know you like the Marlins against the Rockies today, at least based on your call me crazy.
No, Rockies. Rockies.
I mean, sorry, you like the Rockies against the Marlins today. Pardon me. And then there are a handful of games that we're going to get to next segment. VSiN's own Josh Applebaum is going to join us. He has thoughts on Brewers, Reds, Rockies, Marlins, and Tigers, White Sox. So we'll get into all of that in just a little bit. Anything else you liked in the last 30 seconds?
No, I'm just waiting for Tyler Anderson to get his ass kicked at some point. You can't have good things if you're the Angels, and I'm sure the shoe will drop today.
It always comes back to the Angels when all is said and done. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll get into a little more MLB with Josh. Don't go anywhere.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you back here on Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158. Going to carry over some of our conversation from last segment, diving into the MLB card of the day. Smaller slate than usual, just 7 games today, but to help us break it all down, we welcome in our good friend Josh Applebaum on the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him, of course, at Josh_Insights on X as well, the All Systems Go podcast. Josh, what is going on, my friend? How are you today?
Stormy, JBT, it's great to be with you. And Stormy, I was vicariously living through your Instagram stories. I've never been to Italy. It's a bucket list for me. I'm hoping Elise and I can maybe go next year. But quick question, Italian food in Italy versus Italian food in America, is Italy much better? And what was your favorite dish eating in Italy? Because that's what I'm most excited about, see the Colosseum and eat good Italian food.
Dude, you have to go. You will absolutely love every second of it. It was amazing, except for maybe the other tourists who make you want to kill yourself. But that was fine.
Seems aggressive.
Pasta-wise, though, unparalleled, having like homemade pasta everywhere you went. My favorite place, and I would highly recommend, Pomodoro Doll 1890. I got the cacio e pepe there. My husband got the carbonara and said it was the best carbonara he's had in his life. So write that down, add it to the notes, lock
it
in.
I'll head it up next time I'm in Italy. Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
What is the thing that we think is really Italian here that, like, they don't do chicken parm in Italy, right?
No, They don't do pepperoni on pizza.
There we go. Okay.
So that's the big one. Be prepared for that one. It's called like salame picante, and some restaurants will have it on the menu specifically for Americans, but those are not authentic restaurants. So note that to yourself. Log that in the memory bank as well, because if you want pepperoni pizza, then you're going to be going to the hyper tourism-based places, which you don't want to go. You want authentic stuff. So there we go. Let's get into a little bit of baseball, though. Last segment, we were talking about the Rockies-Marlins there at the end briefly, because JVT said earlier he thinks today is a day, perhaps, maybe, that the Rockies could actually get a win. What is the market telling you?
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I have a crazy stat for you guys here in a second about fading Colorado and how profitable that has been. So I guess any given Sunday, any given baseball day, anything can happen here. But I'm going to just keep going against the Rockies in this spot. I know it feels a little bit, you know, maybe square to take this approach, but it has made quite a bit of money. And the market is kind of leaning toward Miami quite a bit as well, because we opened this game, Marlins are on a minus 180 home favorite. And we're now seeing the Marlins get up to minus 200. So that's about a 20-cent steam move in favor of Miami. I think if you do want to bet against Colorado moving forward, you got to hit these opening numbers, the overnight numbers, because the public, they just see that record, 9-50, breaking, you know, the record for the worst start ever. They're going to be hammering these games, you know, pretty much when they get home from work or later in the day. So you want to get on these moves before they take place. But if we look at the bet splits at DraftKings right now, Stormy, 84% bets, over 90% of the dollars are going with Miami, which coincides with that big move in their favor. And then you have a lot of systems that are lighting up here on Miami. When both teams are below 500, just take the favorite, the quote unquote better team. That system is 65-36, 64% with a 5% ROI. You also get kind of these bigger numbers. Sometimes you're scared to lay these numbers, and I get it. You got to win at a very high rate to turn a profit when you're laying these big prices. But if you look in this spot, if you're a big home favorite of minus 175 or more in the opener of a new series, that's done really well this year. It's 48-13, 79%, 13% ROI. You do have some correlative betting here. Favorite low total. The line's moving toward Miami. This total has dropped 8.5 down to 8. Miami does have the better offense. Colorado's been really bad, the worst hitting team on the road this year. And if you dig into these pitchers a little bit, Max Meyer, he's 2-1 with a 3.48 ERA at home. Herman Marquez, 0-4 ERA of 9.42 on the road. In Colorado, 3-28 on the road, obviously terrible. But here's the number that I wanted to give to you guys. If you had faded Colorado every game this year, obviously no one's got Biff Tannen's almanac. No one thought of doing this from the start to the season, but it just kind of proves the point. You would be 50-9, 85% win rate, 23% ROI. If you had bet $100 against the Rockies every game this year, you'd be up nearly $1,400 at this point. So if the Rockies beat me and JBT's Rockies come to play today, I'll just have to take it. But for the time being, I'm going to follow the steam. I got Miami a little bit earlier today, minus 190.
All right, speaking of coming to play, it's what the Brewers have been doing here. Winners of seven straight. Does that maintain on the road against Brady Singer and the Reds?
I hope so, JBT. I'm going to take Milwaukee in this spot. You named it. They've been really, really hot here, 1-7 in a row. They swept my Red Sox. Then they went to Philly and won 3 in a row. It's very difficult to beat Philly 3 times in their ballpark. But if we look at the line move, it really speaks to me, smart money going with Milwaukee, because we open this game Reds as high as a minus 125 home favorite. You had Milwaukee around a plus 105 road dog, and the public's pretty much split. I like to use the bet splits at DraftKings to gauge where the public is, because it's obviously a big national book. And right now it's 50-50 down the middle. And theoretically, when you look at a split that's down the middle, you would assume there's no reason to adjust the line. You got indecision from the public. You know, there's no reason to move it up or down. However, 50-50 split at DraftKings, but this line is tanking away from the Reds and toward Milwaukee. The Reds have gone down minus 125 down to like minus 115, minus 110. We're seeing this line move toward Milwaukee, even though the splits are even. So that tells me we got some smart money on Milwaukee riding the hot hand. They have a few things that I like. Divisional dogs, built-in familiarity, levels the playing field. You also have a dog high total. Total in this game is, I think, 9, and it's even juiced a little bit to the over at some shops, so more runs scored, more upset opportunities. And really, the way Milwaukee's been playing as of late, their last 10 games are hitting 288, ERA of 3.36. Since he's only hitting 251, ERA of 5.13. And just to talk about dogs a little bit, guys, early portion of the season, favorites were crushing it. Dogs really barked back in the month of May, in particular, the short road dogs, the dogs that were plus 120 or less. In the month of May and now into June, they're 52-40, 57%, 17% ROI. So this has been the spot, not these huge dogs cashing, but these kind of short ones. I'm going to go with Milwaukee here. Shop around. You can maybe still get plus 100.
V VSiN's Josh Applebaum joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, host of the All Systems Go podcast, talking MLB. Another game I know you were eyeing today comes in the Tigers-White Sox as they kick off a three-game set in Chicago. Detroit's been great all season and great as of late, winning six of their last seven. They're a minus 238 road favorite in this one. Jack Flaherty on the hill against Jonathan Cannon. What stood out to you?
Yeah, the line move stood out to me, Stormy, in favor of the Tigers. Now, this line's kind of getting away from you. We opened this game as low as Detroit, like minus 195, minus 200. I jumped on Detroit at minus 210. You're now upwards of minus 240. So this becomes a bit of a play where, hey, I'm with this sharp line move. Like, if you look at DraftKings, 89% bets, 94% money line dollars on the Tigers at Circa, where you guys are at, 76% bets, 99% dollars on Detroit. So we're kind of lining up with low bets, higher dollars, line movement, steam toward Detroit. Here's the thing, though. If you're not comfortable laying such a big price at this point, do you think about the -1.5? Is that something that you want to look toward? I will give you guys a couple stats, though, on these bigger favorites, because, again, this has been the spot that's been pretty good this year. If you're a road favorite of minus 170 or more and the line moves in your direction, those teams are 30-13, 70% with a 4% ROI. And if you're turning a 4% ROI, people might say, oh, that's not very good. But on a huge favorite number like that, that's actually pretty good. Big favorites minus 200 or more in general, who also made the postseason the previous year, basically will a good team come through when they're laying a big number. Those teams are 80-24, 77%, 8% ROI. In particular, Detroit has really cleaned up against bad teams this year. If they're playing a team that missed the postseason the previous year, they're 24-7, 77%, 37% ROI. They are 3-0 against the White Sox this year. Better bullpen, better offense. Again, this is one of those games where if you got the number early, you're feeling great about it. Maybe entertain a run line, but I'm just going to stick with the minus 210 I got earlier with Detroit.
If you like what you hear from Josh, go to VSiN.com. You can check out his articles every single day. I'm looking at the top picks from the MLB betting splits for Monday, June 2nd. And if you want to bet smarter, become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by, let me see this here, Josh Applebaum, which I believe is a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Again, VSiN.com/subscribe. Promo code is BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up. VSiN.com/subscribe. Josh, tell us about the book. What the hell is this?
Yeah, so really excited about this, JVT. Thanks for teeing me up like that. I want to give a shout out to Bill AD and Mark Walters for putting this thing together. But yeah, I've been working on it for about 3+ years at this point, even dating back to the old Lombardi line days with our friend Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher. But I said to myself, hey, I've written one book. I want to write another. I figured NFL is obviously the most heavily bet sport that people are going to want to get into. And really, this whole book is about kind of everything that I look toward as a data-driven bettor. Big part of it looks at bet splits, which you can get with the VSiN membership. And my whole goal, guys, you know me at this point, we've been working together for quite a few years. I'm just looking for games that are against the public, with the sharps, with the house, and I can align some betting system matches. And really, the NFL, as we know, is really one of the best sports to bet against the public because you have so much public action that you can take advantage of. So really, this goal, the goal of the book and my whole thought process was, hey, people want to bet on the NFL. Most bettors are public bettors who are going to bet based on gut instinct, bias, you know, take the better team, the better record, the home team. This book really teaches you to kind of try to leave your bias at the door and really kind of learn and analyze what the market is telling you with a lot of tips and strategies along the way. So really excited. It comes out August 12th. It's a great opportunity to get the book and get locked into the best VSiN yearly membership. So I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for mentioning it.
Yeah, congrats on completing yet another one, Josh. Awesome stuff. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to it.
Josh Applebaum. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. Use that promo code BOOK. That'll get you the $41 off the annual subscription, which, by the way, so in addition to the pre-order, you get everything that we have to offer at VSiN, the daily email with the best bets from all of our show hosts and guests. He mentioned the betting splits that are available on vsin.com, 24/7 video access, plus our VSiN NFL betting guide for this season is dropping July 1st. That is included as well in this limited time offer. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, best bets for the day as we wrap things up.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Stormy Bonantoni and JVT with you live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. In a couple minutes, we will get into our best bets of the day. Lots of baseball today, MLB and college.
Can I tell you, and this is both selfish or whatever, but I really do enjoy the summer months. I like baseball. And over the weekend, when there was really, outside of Saturday, nothing to watch except for baseball, man, I got so excited because, like, look, you get some time off, whoever you are, wherever you're at, coming up. It's like the best time. I enjoy days where there's just baseball going on. And like these next few days, that's all we got, right? Ah, this is the, I love summer. It's great. Very excited.
How much do you use? And I know we're not fully there yet because obviously we still have the NBA and Stanley Cup final. Still this week. But once we get through that and baseball is the primary and we're going to have like a full month of just MLB action, how much of that do you siphon time to prep for NFL and college football?
Oh, it's like it started. It's the, what helps is I have other things that I have to do. So for our guide, for example, to bring people behind the scenes a little bit, I will have to have our AFC East preview done before we go on our trip to Omaha next week.
Okay.
So I'm kind of already starting. Yeah, I'm already starting to kind of get ready, which is why one of the days, I can't remember, maybe we're going to take you, maybe not. But one of them, it was either call me crazy or whatever it was. But last week, I was making the case for Dolphins to have the fewest wins in the regular season. Like if you really dive into it, they, I think, are on a razor's edge. If you really look at their roster, if things go wrong for them, I think there's a shot that they really do kind of fall off a cliff. Mm-hmm. And there's always these teams, you know, kind of like your 49ers last year that have market expectations that are like here, but then things go wrong and they really do not meet expectations and bottom out. There's always a team or two like that. And I think the Dolphins might be one of them, but to the point of I'm already starting to kind of get into it. And I want to clear the way for getting ready for college football because that's always a beer. That's always a kind of a bear to get into. And usually around the time where I take my summer vacation is the time where Phil Steele has his magazine out and the college football stuff gets ramped up. So I think if you're not starting now, you're probably already behind the eight ball.
Yeah, I believe I just saw Phil Steele tweeted like yesterday or the day before that he was going to the presses Sunday with the college football.
I think he does a tremendous job. It will be like, you really only have to read like the roster on like the last two sentences of each position, but still, like, it's a good thing to have. Yeah. And it just tells you, like, over here, like, we're less than 100 days away from the start of the NFL season. College football is right around the corner, too. Week zero is going to be here before you know it.
Yep.
We're already getting kickoff time. So I get really excited about this time of year. I think it's great.
And you don't like the Miami Dolphins and you do like the New England Patriots. So
I don't know. Now that
you're digging deeper into
speaking of digging, I don't know. I don't like that Stephon Diggs is digging into some of these pink powder bags and slapping Cardi B's rear end and dancing and doing all that stuff. The slapping of the rear end is not that bad. But maybe having questionable substance ketamine on a boat and maybe partaking in it, maybe not, allegedly.
He's on a boat, he's on a boat.
Second reference to that in the last week. Keith Irizarry had that too.
A lot of distractions,
but we'll see.
In his tank top and his flippy floppies.
I think ketamine brings focus, though, maybe.
So with that in mind, there's no transition from ketamine. There's just none that we can really do. But we did notice over the course of the show that we've seen some odd movement in the NBA that does not have to do with the NBA finals.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring this up because we're in the betting space. So I think there's actually some tentacles to this that we can have a conversation about, but whatever. I think that there's times where I'll use Gil Alexander's phrase, because we follow sports from the betting perspective, fly too close to the sun. And I do think there's times where we believe the betting market to be pure and always correct. Okay, and I'll give you an example. Last year, NL Rookie of the Year, you could talk to some people who'd be like, well, the market's telling me that Jackson Merrill's going to win this thing. So, of course, he's going to win it. Didn't even come close. Didn't even sniff the NL Rookie of the Year. And so I bring this up because we have these odds out for Giannis Antetokounmpo on his next team. And over the last 24 hours, we have seen his odds go from about 40-1 to like 10-1. And everybody's freaking out. Could Giannis be on the Toronto Raptors? You know what this odds movement also coincides with? A report that says Giannis and the Raptors have mutual interest. Mm-hmm. So in other words, this is just the market reacting to the report. There are not like big whales coming in and laying hundreds of thousands of dollars on some inside information. And I'm willing to bet we see another swing toward another team.
Yeah.
But when that final swing happens, based on information, and then he goes to that place, people are going to sit back like, betting market knew it the whole time. Like, nah, I don't think that's the case. I think sometimes it just really reacts to every fart in the wind when it comes to information. And by the way, like, again, these are markets that you're not taking that much on. So it's kind of like a mini rant. And also just worth noting that there is a report out there that Giannis and the Raptors do have mutual interest. But if you're talking open market best deal, I find it hard to believe that Toronto will be able to match some of the offers that could be out there. So just worth noting.
The report also being from Doug Smith of the Toronto Star.
Yes.
So that is where that report comes from as well. I know usually when we see these reports, it's from Shams or from someone. This is a local report as well. So keep that in mind.
I don't think the local guy would be like, Giannis has no interest.
Okay, time for our best bets of the day. As always, brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. And GBank now is introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN all together. So all you need to do, open a GBank Visa signature card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger that $500 trifecta. You'll get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature card. First Bet's going to give you another $100 deposit match, and VSiN's going to complete the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through August 1st, $200 in value. That's a $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bank, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank for more information. And remember, guys, this is a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. What do you got for tonight?
All right, so I'm going to dip my toe in the water here. I will not go full Jon Snow, but I'll go a little Jon Snow. Give me the Rockies team total over 3.5 at even money today. I really do also think...
So you're not going all in on the money line play?
Here's the thing. I will say, looking at the market right now, I do think when you get to that, and the market would seemingly agree, like plus 175 or thereabouts, I think is a bet worth making on Colorado. Again, I just think the probability is higher that they can win this game. The Rockies stink. I understand all of that. But you know who else stinks? Is Max Meyer. He's been awful. If you look at his last six starts, he's been atrocious. He's got a FIP that's nearly six at 5.98. His ERA is touching nearly seven. Over these last six starts, he has struck out just 15% of the batters he's faced. He's walked 8% of them. Barrel rate is over 10%. Hard hit rate is nearly 50%. Stormy, you're talking about a guy that 50% of the batted balls are considered hard hit. I just don't, I understand we want to fade the Rockies, understand how bad they are, but I'm willing to kind of plant the flag that I think Meyer is not that good. And so, thus, by extension, there are some other places that you can bet on this Rockies team to have a little bit of success. And again, I think only plus 175, Rockies are the play. Marquez does have some very good metrics that are in his favor. Let's push back on a couple of things. First off, and again, it's like asking from a guy to go from absolutely abhorrent to just very bad. Okay, so I understand Marquez has his flaws. Josh mentioned his 9.42 ERA on the road. Fielding independence, actually 470. If you look at even deeper, his road metrics, 383 batting average on balls in play against, 46% left on base rate for him. Like, again, he's just so unlucky with some of these things that I don't know if that happens here. I just think he's better than what his overlying metrics would indicate at this point. And I think we've just gotten a little too far. The Marlins themselves are not a good baseball team. And to say that they're worth getting up to like $2, some spots opened overnight minus 155 in favor of Miami. Now we're nearly getting to $2. I think it's just a bridge too far. So for now, Rockies team total over 3.5. And I do think that once you get to that like plus 175 range, which I believe we'll probably get to later tonight, this I think starts at like 340. I'll have a play on the Marlins to win this thing.
I don't have a bet on that game, but I look forward to watching it.
I can't wait to watch it.
Because
it's great theater.
If you're the one that calls it, I would love that. So, and also, so with the Rockies kind of stealing all the headlines about being bad lately, I think it's overshadowed how bad the A's have been lately, losing 17 of their last 18, including five straight. And I am fading them again today. I took the Twins on the money line minus 150. I do see it up to like minus 168 on DraftKings. They're still minus 156 though in the market. So shop around. Joe Ryan has given up one run or less in five of his last six starts with the Twins, winning four straight with him on the hill. Even his expected numbers are pretty solid. Luis Severino been good lately for the A's, but the bullpen is just so bad. Worse in baseball, 6.17 ERA. So trusting that the Twins will get it done here. And then I've been tinkering with some things on the Dodgers today against the Mets. I really want to fade Paul Blackburn in some way, who's making his first big league start this year after a 10-month road back from just a variety
everything.
Of injuries.
From everything.
What were we talking about? It's like a spinal leak.
It was like a spinal leak and then like a knee-ish inflammation
and then an illness.
And then like it's been a comedy of unfortunate events for him. It's terrible.
Meanwhile, the Dodgers just took 2-3 from the Yankees, scored 29 runs over the weekend and is really strong at home, 21-9 in their own park. Mets 13-15 away from Citi Field. They're minus 155 on the money line. So I think I'm going to play it that way and then maybe even a same game parlay with Dodgers money line. And if you do the team total for them over over 3.5 runs, that's around a minus 114 price. If you do over the standard team total, 4.5, you get to plus 115. And I think that might be the fun way. It's just like, I'll bet the sidebar standalone money line at minus 155 and then do the same game parlay with money line and over 4.5 runs to get plus 115.
All right, I'll rattle these off quick. LA 2.5 runs with the Tennessee Volunteers today at minus 125. And then we can have more on this tomorrow. We didn't really get into it, but both Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams to lead the series in assists, 4-1 and 65-1 respectively.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have given you more time on that. We will talk plenty about the NBA Finals,
a little rusty,
though.
Coming back from Italy.
Sorry, it's day one, baby. But obviously, game one of that series coming up Thursday, so we have plenty of time to get into those. And there are a handful of markets that we will dive into. That's a wrap for us today. Keep it locked right here, though. Prop Points coming up next with Nick Whalen on today's show. Adam Thompson with his best MLB bets.